Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline now. Paul, how are you doing today?
Bill, doing well, man. How are you?
Doing well. Could you believe any of the conjecture out there that the Packers were even interested in Antonio Brown?
Yeah, what a fun night of interesting night of
weirdness.
Speculation and rumors. And I mean, Ian Rappaport, who's pretty darn solid, you know, when it comes to getting these things right, is all but confirming Antonio Brown to Buffalo. And you just, you know, you start scratching your head because it's all of the things that I think would make that situation just terrible, which is, you know, a losing team, not a good, like, you know, star quarterback to say the least in Buffalo. And then, of course, it falls apart this morning. But meanwhile, last night, that NFL Network, ESPN.com, television host said, one of the teams that were in it, and there weren't many, were the Packers. Well, of course, now this morning, her colleague and, of course, Packers reporter Rob Domofsky at ESPN said no, and Tom Silverstein at Journal Sentinel said no, that's not true. So, I mean, it's just, Bill, you used the word circus the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Good word. Well said.
Right.
That's what this is. This is a circus. This is, you know, and now you get to a point where, you know, who's going to actually make this happen?
Right.
Is he, like, it seems further and further that, like, he's gotten to where Antonio Brown's gotten to the point where, you know, it's not just a trade demand. It's like it's almost like he has, at least in his own mind or his agent's mind, a no trade clause or a no trade list.
Right.
You know, and on top of that, you want a new contract. And on top of that, if you acquire him, you have to give up picks or players in a trade. So, circus. Well said, Bill. That's what this is.
Snipped himself. He has nobody to blame but himself.
Overplayed his hand, would probably be out.
Very much did. And then on top of it said, I don't even have to play football. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I read that, I thought, why, if I'm a general manager, why do I want to pick him up? The guy's already said he's going to play by his own rules. Which means what basically got him, you know, ostracized from Pittsburgh was he quit coming in. He'd go to practice. Yeah. He wouldn't show up for meetings. He'd say, I know it. I don't have to do anything. And he quit coming in and have his agent call, like your mommy's calling you in, on a sick day at school. And then come on in on Sunday and can't believe he couldn't play. And it just, you could just see it coming. And I personally hope he doesn't play. Somebody's going to fall on their head. I think it's going to be Gruden before it's all said and done. But
yeah,
it sounds like a lot of teams have just said, you know what? You're not worth it. You're not that damn good. Nobody's bigger than the game. And that's where I think that kind of stands right now.
Yeah, it sounds like that's where Buffalo's GM came out this morning and said what you just said in perhaps a nicer way, but ultimately said exactly that thing. And, Antonio Brown essentially nixed it because,
mm-hmm.
you might want to acquire the player, which the Bills obviously did, and I don't blame them for it because, you know, you're a team that, 2 years ago was in the playoffs. This year you went 6-10. You really have no traction. Like, you have no upward mobility, no trending in the right direction. So you're, hey, let's try something. Let's inject something into this and see if it sparks something. And, Antonio Brown basically said, no, I'm good. So
mm-hmm.
Now what? You know, where are you going to go? And I agree. I think this ends in Oakland. I think this really strongly ends in Oakland, which, if that's true, Bill, would be so weird because the Raiders have been sellers for the past year. Khalil Mack, they traded. Amari Cooper, a fellow wide receiver, same position, traded. And now you're going to, now theoretically, of course, you might, if you go and acquire Antonio Brown, it's like, what are you doing? Like, which does, again,
right.
Doesn't surprise me because I mean, John Gruden is a goofy roster management guy, I think, and that might be putting it kindly, but Yeah, what a circus.
Then on the other hand, you've got all the talk and conjecture now about the NFL draft and getting into that. We had Dan Shonk on yesterday, and you know, he basically confirmed what I thought, that if you have a quality linebacker or defenseman there, you're going to take it, but you take the best available, because you're going to either have a tight end, an offensive lineman, or a really good defensive player sitting there almost at both picks in the first round.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, there's a couple mock drafts, and Dan Shonk is one of them that, you know, I think it's fair to say have been right enough that you want to put a lot of stock into it. And the other ones are, of course, at NFL.com, the one that both Mike Mayock, who, of course, can't do mock drafts anymore because he's working for the Raiders, and then Daniel Jeremiah, which is, you know, a Twitter handle, Move the Sticks. They're both really good. They're two of the ones that I've always really trusted and looked at. And, you know, it's like when Daniel Jeremiah's came out a couple days ago, and I put it on Twitter, and he had the Packers going to tight end Fant from Iowa, and then had him going with an offensive lineman from Texas A&M at 30. I put like the screenshots of the two picks on Twitter, and I said, if the Packers go offense, the first two picks, you know, our fans going to freak out. And, you know, partially, to be honest, to my surprise, a lot of the feedback I got was, no, I don't know if I just have super rational Packers fans who follow me on Twitter, or if I've misjudged, you know, maybe what reaction I thought was going to be. But they, you know, the responses I got for the most part were, no, that's fine. And so I think that's if that's true, if that sort of thought process is a, you know, an indication of all Packers fans, then, you know, it seems like it would be received fairly well as far as for the Packers are concerned. Yeah. I mean, do they need an edge rusher? Yeah. Do they need two edge rushers? Yeah. You know, do they maybe arguably need three? Probably. But if the right guy's not there at 12, and the, you know, one of the tight ends that are just, you know, there's a couple tight ends, both from Iowa, you know, coincidentally, especially with Hockenson and Fant, who are like first round pick caliber tight ends. And that's not always true in the NFL draft to have a guy that is a worthy tight end pick in the first round. I mean, there are a lot of times where you might not see a tight end pick until late second round. I'm thinking back to, I want to say 2013, Max Williams out of Minnesota was the first tight end taken, and that wasn't until like number 60 overall. And, you know, there's a lot of times where that can happen. So again, you, if all things were equal and you have three players on your board and they're the best three available and they're all ranked identically on your big board near the Packers, and one of them's a tight end and one of them's an edge rusher and one of them's an offensive lineman, and they're all graded identically, I think they're going to go edge rusher. I think that's fair to say. But you're not going to dip, you know, two spots below who you have best player available on your board just because of edge rush. Because again, and Bill, you said this the other day with me, like, edge rushers are not typically, and of course there are exceptions to the rule, especially high draft picks, there are not typically a ton of edge rushers who come in day one and dominate the NFL. So if you're the Packers, that'd be great. Obviously, if you identify pass rush in the first round, they would clearly need that influx of young talent, but you're still going to have to supplement that in free agency or trade or something to find other ways to plug that hole, because if you're solely pinning your hopes of being a good pass rushing team on a rookie, even if that rookie is a top 12 overall pick, you're probably asking too much of that player. So, yeah, I mean, this, as we get closer here, I don't expect, you know, I think if you and I are sitting together on first round of draft night, Bill, in late April, and they go offense, I'm sure there's going to be people who are like, what is going on? But ultimately, yeah, you go best player available unless a player surprisingly falls, and I'm sure that's what the front office is hoping happens on draft night.
Talking with Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst, before I let you go, so a lot of these guys, you know, Purnell just came out of the right guard out of Jacksonville. He's now on the open market. You've already got people with the Giants, fans saying you got to get him. There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to hit the open market. I think you're going to be able to fortify a couple of holes by some of these guys that are cut. For all the guys that are free agents that we have already seen that we know are going to cost a lot of money, I think you're going to be able to find some of these guys in the open market that are going to be able to fill some of the holes that you have without going out and breaking the bank on some of the bigger names that are out there. I just think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, even a couple released today in Jacksonville, Malik Jackson, big defensive lineman. Tayshaun Gibson, another safety added to the market, 29-year-old player who's had some productive years in recent years. You're going to even see, I probably am leaning towards expecting him to retire, but even like offensive lineman like TJ Lang released in Detroit this morning, you know, this is going to be, this is the season for, you know, releases. And so all of a sudden the free agent pool that you thought you were working with grows, and sometimes grows significantly. I mean, let's just say that Nick Perry is, you know, not with this team in 2 weeks. Let's say he's part of this cutting process here prior to the official start of free agency. Some team is going to see that and say, oh, hey, cool, Nick Perry's added to our, you know, our list of guys that we could sign. And so that is going to keep happening. And it's a lot of times the contracts like that, you know, were probably at the time thought of as like, well, let's try this. And I mean, Malik Jackson's contract, if I recall correctly, was like $80 million or $70 million. Not all of that guaranteed, but he was a huge pickup a couple years ago. This is the time of year where, like, even if you at home have printed out your free agency big board and you've tied yourself to certain guys, I would recommend having the printer ready again, you know, or the screen refresh ready again, because there's going to be more players and more players and more players added to this over the next couple weeks. And then even if you want to go beyond that, Bill, like, okay, look at the trade that the Browns pulled off this morning with the Giants and Olivier Vernon traded for Kevin Zeitler. You know, one team needs an offensive lineman, another team needs some pass rush, a one-for-one player trade, you know, and that's more rare in the NFL, obviously, than it is in other professional sports, but that's the kind of stuff to keep an eye on, too, is like, do the Packers, and again, with Ted Thompson, we would have said, rightfully so, you know, okay, why are we even talking about this? It's never going to happen. With Brian Gutekunst, that's another thing to keep in mind, is here's all these players that are available today. A week from now, there's going to be even more players available, and then don't dismiss the fact that there's some trade candidates out there that the Packers could pull from, because that's certainly more so the type of GM that Gutekunst is, and certainly vastly compared to the way that Ted Thompson was when he was in charge.
Good stuff as always, Paul, and we will chat more next week, okay?
Sounds great, Bill.
All right, Paul. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emmick, Green and Gold Analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they'll be getting it done. Call them. 800-44-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.